Nehemiah chapter 1. So we go from the light message there, which is it's a great message, Psalm 23, to one a lot heavier. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month Chislew, the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Now, pause there, and I know that so many of us already understand where this is going, what's happened with Nehemiah, who he was, who he became. But just put yourself there in the palace that day as Nehemiah sees one of his friends approaching. Someone who's been to Jerusalem, the city that he loves. A city that the Jews have long been taken away from, have evacuated and been taken into captivity. And here comes someone who's been there. And Nehemiah wants to know about that city that he loves, that city that God loves, those people that Nehemiah loves, those people of God. He wants to know. And so he sees Hanani and he says, "Hey, man, how's everything back home?" And if we already know the rest of the story, we don't get that kind of enthusiasm in Nehemiah's question, do we? Nehemiah inquires, but put yourself there. I believe he was expecting some exciting news. "Man, tell me about back home. How's everybody doing? How's your mom and them," right? And he was expecting some kind of a good report. He didn't get one. He didn't get a good report. The report that he got, verse 3, "They said to me, 'The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, the gates thereof burned with fire.'" Oh, what an awful, awful report. The picture in Nehemiah's mind in his imagination of Jerusalem was of that glory of that city. And now the image that he has in his mind is of a broken wall and burned gates and people who are thin from hunger. People who are, their face shows the agony and the misery of the existence in Jerusalem. And that's the image that Nehemiah has. So on a day when would have been just like any other, and then he thought maybe it was going to be good news, he's crushed. I don't know your reaction to the news of the shooting yesterday. It's hard to have one besides being crushed. There is nothing that can make our minds. Nehemiah tries to imagine the city, and how can he conceive such a thing for the city he loves? How can we conceive such a violent, satanic act as what occurred yesterday? And here's the thing. Most of the world got up today and went about their lives. Those 21 families directly affected, and that doesn't include the first responders that are deeply affected. It doesn't include all of the families of the school and the children who are now afraid to go back to any school. A place that was safe, that was always considered to be a safe place, has been violated. It says in verse 4, "It came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days." What's happened to our country is heartbreaking. That's one instance of one mentally ill person doing a horrific, unacceptable. No one in their right minds supported what he did. And we're all crushed by it. Not that we're connected. You know, it'll disappear from the news in a week. They'll have some funerals. They'll do something to keep it going. But guys, we can look back on these tragedies through our recent history. And we know what happens is the news cycle eventually turns. Something else comes up and it draws all the attention. And those families in that community are left to heal on their own. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, wildfires, shootings, floods, all of these things that happen. The war in Ukraine, right? Are we affected by that? You say, well, there's ripple effects and it's being... The truth is, in a few days, we move on. Nehemiah says here that he was crushed. I sat down and mourned and wept for days. And I fasted. Right? That's very spiritual, isn't it? He didn't eat. He just prayed. Every time he got hungry, he prayed instead of eating. He denied himself in order to build himself spiritually. And prayed before the God of heaven. By the way, let me tell you, that did not bring him peace. It didn't help him. It didn't make him feel better to pray. He prayed, he fasted, he mourned, he wept, and he was still sad. Now, the idea that if we just pray, it'll be okay is wrong. We call out to God and say, God, show me what to do. Show me how I can help. And we look at where Nehemiah is in Shushan, the palace, and where Jerusalem is, and what can he do from here? Nothing. From here. And the truth is that if it had not been that God had a purpose for Nehemiah, he would have been crushed and he would have been sad and heartbroken and he would have mourned and he would have wept. And in a few days, he would have moved on. But it wasn't that way with Nehemiah in this instance. You see, that burden that he had, that heartbreak that he had, continued 4 months. 4 months Nehemiah was in this heartbroken state. 4 months. I look around and people, you know, they call me and they say, but Pastor, I know it's been a year. I know it's been 2 years, but I'm still heartbroken and I still don't feel any better. And I pray, but I don't get peace. And I fast and I mourn, but I don't feel any better. You're right. Because it doesn't fix everything. The losses that we have experienced are real. And as the world gets back to what they're doing, there's somebody that God has with a purpose who is not going to lose that sadness, that grief, or that burden because God's got something for them to do. And for everybody else, they go back to their business. He wept and he mourned. That's physical, that's mental, that's emotional. He fasted and he prayed. That's spiritual. But none of it brought peace. He was struggling, seeking peace, and finding none. Finding none. The burden didn't lift. God had a purpose and a mission regarding Jerusalem. Look at verse 5. I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. That's worship. Your God and your faithful God. That's worship. Verse 6, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, day and night. Day and night, the burden never lifted. for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servants. So he prays for his people. Guys, those people in that community may not be our neighbors, but they're our people. We should pray for them and lift them up and ask God to give them strength and give them comfort. And it's unimaginable. I mean, how does that get better? How do you recover from that? They need God's help. Verse 8, remember I beseech thee the word thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. We live in a sinful world. This is a symptom of that. The evil that exists and is embraced, and we don't deal with it, and we don't treat mental illness the way we should. We've come so far now in our society that we embrace it and give it a name and give it a classification and give it a protected status rather than say something's wrong. Something's wrong. Verse 9, he remembers the promise and his basis for hope. Guys, we don't lose hope. He still had hope. For 4 months he prayed, and he was sad, and he was seeking encouragement, and he was seeking answers, and he still had that sliver of hope. Why? Because he knew the Scripture. Ben was talking about, you've got to read the Bible. Well, if we memorize the Bible, we have it in our hearts, and then when we need it, it's there. And that's what Nehemiah quotes here, verse 9, if you turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you that cast out in the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and bring them to the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Nehemiah said, God, you made us a promise. I'm holding on to that promise. You said if they're scattered to the far reaches of heaven, and look, this is a long way. I'm a long way from Jerusalem, Nehemiah says, but gather us back. Take us back to that place where your name is great. He had hope because he knew Scripture. He had hope because he knew God's promises. And that was the basis of his hope. Verse 10, now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power. And by thy strong hand. These are your people. He's identifying his people. He's reminding God that he knows the promise and he's ready to live for it. In his prayer in verse 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. That's what we want, right? We want to know God. We want to know God in an intimate, deep level. We want to understand Him in our, you know, scaffolding, the steps of learning. And we begin, as a child, we learn some things about the Scripture. And the older we get, and the more Scripture we get, and the more life that we live, the more experiences we, the better we know God. And the more we trust Him. Nehemiah is crushed, and he's praying, and it doesn't bring him any comfort, but he doesn't quit praying. We got to learn to keep praying in the hard times. We got to learn to stick close to God in the tough times. When we don't have the answers, we got to keep calling out and know the Scriptures. And remind ourselves what the Bible says, what God has promised us, and hold on to that. And he prayed. And he didn't quit for 4 months. What was happening 4 months ago? What tragedy did we experience in our country 4 months ago? Can you name one? You know why? Because it wasn't our burden. I'm sure somebody could tell you right now what happened 4 months ago, and God has a burden for them and a mission for them, and they're involved, and they're working on solutions, and they're working on answers. But guys, when God's got something for us to do, that burden's going to remain. If you're burdened about something and that burden doesn't go away, that's because God's got something He wants you to do with it. He wants you to train. He wants you to learn. He wants you to pray. He wants you to get ready. He wants you to get people involved, and He wants you to do something about it. That's how it works. Isn't that how it worked with Nehemiah? Chapter 2, verse 1, we're not going to go into it, but it says 4 months later, he went before the king because he was the cupbearer. And the king said, Nehemiah, what is wrong? You think that's the first time he'd asked him that 4 months? Maybe the first day he thought, well, you know, whatever it is, I don't want to get in this business, right? I don't want to say anything. The next day and a month goes by. My goodness, this guy, something's wrong. He's not joyous like he used to be. He's not enthusiastic like he's not talkative. He's not funny. Something's wrong. Finally, 4 months go by, and the king says, what is wrong with you? He says, my people are suffering. I got to go back. The king said, okay. We'll get you what you need. Tell us what you need. We'll get you back there, and you can do something about it. You know why? Because the burden never left. The burden never left. You have a burden for somebody or something or some situation. If that burden remains, God's got something for you to do in it. Not just for you to worry about it. It's time to take action on those things. Until then, pray. But remember, while God can do anything, He's a miracle-working God, usually He sends somebody to do it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, right? I think the last two Sundays we talked about a man. There was a man. Well, guess what? We are the ones He's sending now. Let's stand. Father, would You strengthen our hearts and minds and show us what we can do to make a difference? Maybe not in that situation, but in our own community. To reach the children, especially those that are confused and struggling with mental illness, the families that are struggling with it. To encourage those parents, encourage help, and God, just that we would follow Your will, do Your work, and make a difference, and not stand by when we could have made a difference. We pray for our country, especially for those on the wall around the world tonight. Give them ministers to their needs. Dismiss us now with Your grace, and bring us back again in Jesus' name. Amen.